Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. As always, I am your host, Celeste Elliott. I am here with you every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Lilydale Radio Channel. I am one of six shows now, so there's lots to check out. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But today I have a special co-host with me. So for those of you who do not know Emmy Chetkins, this is Emmy, and she is, you are the one of the founders of Church of the Living Spirit.
Well, I could tell you about that.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I can tell you about how the church came to be.
Yeah.
But I was visiting my friends who lived in, you know, Simon's house on South Street. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there with everybody chatting away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I know that you're familiar with this, everything just dropped away.
Oh, yes.
And I saw a church. Now, I was not a very church-minded person. Mm. You know, I loved all the stories of the saints being raised Catholic, but I was not very church-minded. But the minute I saw that church, there was just this huge download. And from that minute, I knew I was going to start a church.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't question it. You don't think about it. You just do it.
Yeah.
And that's how
you get your marching orders for
the Spirit. And then it took about 2 years, though, actually, to line up different people, like lawyers and Bob Benz.
Oh, you know
Bob?
Oh, yeah.
Bob Benz, because Alvin Gasper told me that Bob had started a lot of churches and I had gone to Alvin. And so I had all that ready. And then Patricia Price was coming across the park and I was going across the park towards her.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, let's do it. And then everybody came. It was really surprising. I thought I'd be crucified, but instead it
very
was good.
Welcomed and meant to be.
Meant to be. When you get that coming from within.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When you listening to the still small voice, as they say, which is sometimes quite loud.
It's never still and small.
It's true.
Why do people say that?
I know.
It's this booming. Like, I think, does everybody hear that? For heaven's sake.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's the same interpretation.
So, obviously, the person with the still small voice never heard the voice.
Very, very different experience there. What I find very funny, and of course, we just lost Patty Lillis.
Yeah.
Who was our singing medium. And for anybody who's been coming to Lilydale for years, they knew her and she would get messages.
And and she was the secretary of the church.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful person.
Yeah. So, you know, we sort of, fortunately, you know, you know that they're going to be touching in, you mm-hmm. know? But I just, anytime I always thought it was very funny, like the people who understand the best, it's like, how are you? I'm good. Spirit's very noisy today. You know? It's like, I had an experience 2 years ago, two summers ago. I was sitting out at Stump and I said, and Brenda Hawkins had come, another registered medium. And she said, oh, what's going on? And I said, you know, Brenda, I've had this song in my head all day. And I don't know what to do with it. And I've been waiting. It's the 5:30 service. I'm waiting to see if it belongs to somebody in the audience. And she said, oh, how funny. Me too. What song? And I said, Stairway to Heaven. And she said, me too. So I think Spirit has a radio station.
Spirit is everywhere present.
Spirit is everywhere present. Which is the theme of today's show. Yay! It's a little bit like hitting the secret phrase, isn't it? So, on a game show. So, that worked out perfectly.
It did.
See how they direct us around. So, I thank you very, very, very much for coming and being on today and talking.
Oh, I like being here.
Good.
I like talking.
Good. It's so funny to me because you said you weren't a very, you know, church-minded person.
I know.
You know, and I...
And you associate me
very much so, yeah, with the church, and but more so with the philosophy.
Exactly, that's what I really, really like, mm-hmm. is the philosophy.
Yeah,
and I always have.
Yeah,
I could tell you how that started.
Yeah, please do.
In Key West, some friends and I were excited because we heard that there was a regression person in town. Now, I don't believe in regressions. Right. I believe that everything is here and now, happening now, but right. you have to use words to describe things. And so we all wanted to go and see this regressionist. And I had made my appointment. And I go upstairs and I sit down in the chair. And the minute I sat down in the chair, I saw myself, a woman, young woman, who I knew to be me, mm-hmm. in Amsterdam. And I knew that it was the 1600s. And the regressionist asked me, she said, Emmy, she didn't even get a chance to put me under. I was already under.
Yeah.
And she said, where are you? I said, I'm in Amsterdam. And she said, oh, Amsterdam. And she asked me the date and everything like they do. And then she said, well, you're in Amsterdam. You must be a Calvinist. Oh. And I knew inside everything went kahooey. And I said, no. I'm not a Calvinist. And she said, oh, you are. She said, she wasn't really good because she's contradicting.
Yeah, because she was trying to.
She could have learned something if she had listened.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not a Calvinist. And she said, look, I'll show you. She said, I want you to walk mm-hmm. to the church in the town and tell me what the church says. So I go very easily. Mm-hmm. I go. In fact, many years later, I took my husband to that church. I knew exactly where it was. But anyway, we get to the church. And I take my cloak and I put it over my head and I turn aside. And I said, I don't go to church. I'm Jewish. Well, this same regressionist said, that's impossible. There are no Jews in Amsterdam.
Oh, she wasn't very good.
And out of nowhere, I don't even know where it came from. I was the big, gigantic voice. I yelled, Spinoza is here. At that minute, my grandmother came. And she put her hand on my wrist, yanked on me, like, you know, pulled me up and walked me down to my car. And
wow.
Yeah. And I thought, Spinoza, but I think that that's a piano. I don't know how I got home, but obviously my grandmother would not have let me go unless it was safe. And I got home, and this is a long time ago, so there's no cell phones or computers. I had to go to the encyclopedias. I told my husband, leave me alone. I have to look this up. And I looked it up, and there it was, Spinoza. And they said he is the philosopher's philosopher. And he lived in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. They had been from Portugal, but they converted to Christianity in order to be safe. But now he didn't have to do any of that. But he went his own path. And through him, I noticed that they talked about the immanence of God with him.
Yes.
And then as I began to look at this, is what got me serious about religion. Then when I looked at the immanence of God, I saw that thousands of years of believing in the immanence of God, and even 100 years, exactly 100 years before Spinoza came on the scene, was a Dominican monk named Giordano Bruno, and he preached the immanence of God. And then along comes our own pioneers, and what do they preach? The immanence of God. And it was in this manual.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day I gave up. I had collected, then I began paying more attention to religion. I always liked spiritualism. My grandmother was a physical medium, and I loved her guests, and the entire tribe would come to her house. She did trumpet in the daylight. She was fascinating. She had big parties for her guides that were written up in the newspaper. And I started to pay more attention. Yeah, I never got that bad vibe about being a spiritualist. We were Catholic in my household, but this was my mother's mother. I mean, we just took it for granted that everything she did. But I loved going over there. It was so fun to be in her house. So anyway, that's how I got more serious about it and studying the immanence of God.
That's awesome. That is the best story. Okay. So for those who do not know what that
means,
what does that mean to you?
Well, our pioneers preached the immanence of God, preaching that God is the everywhere present, impersonal, yes. Try that one on for size,
yeah.
Impersonal, God's everywhere present, impersonal power manifesting as life, through life, in and of itself, not himself or herself, itself,
yeah,
without the need for the knowledge of any other thing. The immanence of God, everywhere present, impersonal, mm-hmm. power manifesting as life. Think of it as life.
Yeah.
You cannot stop life. It's coming down the path and
it's the dandelion coming out of the sidewalk.
And you learn that most religions teach the omnipresence of God, mm-hmm. and that God is omnipotent. And so I guess the immanence of God wraps it up very nice. And it is in the NSAC manual.
Yes. Yes.
But I never heard it talked about.
Well, you know, it was your job to come along and highlight it. You just didn't know that. So, and actually, I'm gonna pause really quick. Okay. So for those of you, because we're not live, for those of you who saw that little pause just now, you could hear the heater turning on in the background because it's starting to get a little chilly out of
night. It's a little chilly.
A little chilly. It's definitely
I'm headed to Florida.
Oh, bless you. I do not blame you at all. Yeah. And for those of you who, by the way, I wanted to bring this up at the top of the show and I forgot. For those of you who are worried because Emmy and I are sitting close together and not wearing masks. She's been in quarantine. I've been in quarantine. I just tested negative also. We know we're clear. we did take those precautions ahead of time. You know, we are still encouraging people to be safe. You know, please know that
we live right up the street from one another.
Yeah, we're rebels, but not that kind. So please, you know, don't write in and tell us that we're being crazy.
I would not go to a football game or a concert.
Right.
A lot of places I wouldn't go. Yeah. I mean, in fact, my son is going to pick me up and drive me to Florida. I'm not going to even go to the airport.
Yeah, which is much nicer.
Yeah. And then when I get there, I don't mind being quarantined in his sunny backyard.
Yeah,
with his wonderful wife, who's such a beautiful cook, and
I'll make it. Yeah, I would understand that. That's an okay thing, you know. So, okay, well, sorry for that interruption. So, I want to go back because we were talking about the impersonal nature of God.
Yes,
and we ended up accidentally working the platform together at the 2:30 last summer.
Oh.
Because I was there to run the tech for the show, and it just so happened that the medium that day, something happened, they had to bow out, and I was already there. So I just came up on stage and served, because why not?
Yeah.
So, and there was somebody else to run the tech, so that was good. You said something that I thought was particularly awesome because I was sitting there, you know, listening to you, and you were and you said, you know, an impersonal God means he doesn't really care if the Bills win or not.
Exactly. God doesn't care if the Bills win or not.
And I thought, oh, that's almost sacrilege in Western New York, but that's. But that was I thought that was a beautiful description. But I wondered if we could dig a little more on that because I don't, you know, on the one hand, we talk about kind of, like you said, we have to have words to define
it. Very
things,
difficult.
You know?
It's so mysterious. It's a mystery. You know, Shakespeare loved every time he didn't know the answer, he'd say, it's a mystery. And it is all a mystery. We do the very best we can. Every once in a while, you get an aha moment, like I did on that back porch that night. And you go from there, and you have to make knowing yourself. You know, in Delphi in Greece, over the archway, it says, know thyself.
Yes.
And when you read a lot of philosophers, they'll say, know thyself and you will know God. Mm-hmm. So it isn't that God doesn't care about us. But there is no anthropomorphic God
right.
hovering over us. We are God.
Yeah.
There's only one. One does not mean a bunch of us all chopped up in little drops. We are not a drop in the ocean. We are the ocean in a drop. You see, like a hologram, maybe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So God does not, look at God created the world, God being all of us. Lao Tzu will tell you that we came to the earth together, all of us as one, and we are one. So here we all are. But what has occurred over time, which is also a fallacy, there's no such thing as time.
Right, exactly. It's all going on, all together, same time.
Everything that ever was or ever will be already is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I also feel that it's, when people are begging God for this, that, or the other, it already is. Mm-hmm. What's important is your reaction to what's carrying on. Or if something crosses your path, like if you walked in front of me and fell, I certainly wouldn't just keep on going.
Right.
I would help you up.
Right.
But it's, God does not have a God, us. We do not have that interest in how something like that turns out. But what happens is, you know how I used to be very happy to talk about duality. And now that I, longer time, older, hopefully we grow a little bit, I thought duality is a snare. A snare, it ensnares us, it traps us. Duality gets you to start judging. And you may not think it's judging, but it is. I'm going to choose the green over the orange. I'm going to choose the black over the white. Those are minor judgments. And then duality can grow, and you can see in this world we live in, it does grow to much, much larger judgments. And so the best thing to do is to remind yourself that you are not of duality, you are of one.
Right.
We are one. So I try to catch myself, not very good at it, because I like vanilla better than chocolate and different things like that. But you remind yourself, I am of the one, and look at where this duality is leading me. It's getting me upset. In fact, with the bills, coming home many, many years ago from Buffalo, I don't know where my husband was, but we were devoted Bills fans. Oh my goodness, everything had to be the Bills. We had season's tickets and everything. And I'm coming home, and I had on the news, of course, to the Bills station. I'm listening to all the information. And all of a sudden, I realized how upset and agitated I was getting about the Bills. Mm-hmm. And right then and there, I said, that's that. This is not healthy.
Right.
I can enjoy the game without becoming so invested in it. So I still enjoyed the game. You can still enjoy duality. You can still dance and eat and have wonderful times with your friends like we're having now, but it can't, your happiness cannot depend on it. Your happiness depends on knowing yourself, and that is that you are one. We are one. Yeah. In fact, I brought a little something. It's only maybe 6 lines.
Yeah.
And I was happy, but I didn't want to try to say it because my daughter, Sarah, used to do some channeling and different things. And several months ago, in fact, I forgot about it till I was writing this month's newsletter.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, Mom, I remember when we were talking about duality and everything. She said, I channeled something in 2012. She channeled it. And so she sent this to me. And then I remembered that I had it. And of course, I can't do anything without glasses.
I understand. Mine are right beside the computer. So,
well, I didn't think maybe I brought this in. If yeah. There was an opening. It says paraphrase. So I had to paraphrase it. So did she.
Yeah.
But here's what came through her.
Yeah.
Once we really understand the idea that there is nowhere else to go except to go within your own mind.
Yes.
To know that you are always, no matter what the experience, experiencing yourself. When this knowing awakens, and that's what happens to us. When we say the aha moments, it's when a little part of us wakes up. We're always waking up more and more and more. When this knowing awakens, the idea of responsibility or attraction, it just falls away.
Mm-hmm.
Attraction, responsibility, and other similar ideas imply that there is someone or something else, as in another and other. Know that you are always observing yourself and you are always within your own mind. So when we say, I attract this, I attract that, where are those things coming from?
Mm.
A void that is separate from you? No, you are not separate. It is all you. It is all you.
perfect.
I know. When perfect. It comes from within like that,
yeah,
it is.
And that's actually where I had wanted to steer some of the conversation as well.
Well, imagine that.
So imagine that. So Emmy and I have been playing this this game the last couple of weeks here, month mm-hmm. or so, where I'll start thinking about her and I'll have the urge to call her and she'll be like looking at, she'll come across my photo or, you know, or she'll start thinking about me and it's like, we get the signal with each other and it's like, and then she'll call me and I'll say, it's so funny. I was just about to call you and she'll go, or I'll call her and she'll say, that's so funny. I was just looking at your picture.
So when you called to invite me onto the show this morning, yeah. I was reading The Imminence of God. I was just going over it, not for any particular reason. It just caught my eye. I have it up on the wall there and I was reading it and I answered you. I answered the phone. I was still looking at The Imminence and you said, I'd like to talk about The Imminence of God.
All right, we can do that.
Yeah, okay.
Now's a good time. So yeah, it's just, it, you know, like attracts like, right? So it just, you know, when the divine mind is like, you know, we should probably amp this up a little bit.
Right. So, and there's only one mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
So this is the appearance of other. There is no other. Yeah. But how, you know, it's fun. Yeah. It is. I don't know why Earth became, right. But and Earth is all in your mind anyway. It's our imagination. Right. Yeah. But I don't know why, because we are already spirit. We do not have to develop. Right. We just don't have to.
Right.
And so it must be because it was fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even when it seems unfun,
yeah.
It's still a puzzle and a mystery. And you have to give things a sense of urgency or else you would never do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's when then what would fun would that be?
Right.
I mean, when you think of just sitting in that void that happens when things are coming through, how long could you sit there like that? I want to talk to Celeste. I want to go down the street and have dinner with so-and-so. I want to. Yeah.
It is the joy of being on this plane of reality mm-hmm. as we, yeah.
And people are not, you know, we know that you do not die.
Right.
The moment you close your eyes in so-called death, you open your eyes in another world. Mm-hmm. And you do not. It is not your body or your property. It appears as if. Mm-hmm. Appears and apparent is, to me, very important words. It appears as if I was hurt. It appears as if my things were stolen. But that is not the truth.
Right.
The truth is that everything is. It's my attachment to me, the ego, and my attachment to the doorknob or the table or whatever it might be, my attachment to the body, my attachment to my thoughts and my emotions that makes things appear to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is not that you do something. It is not our responsibility to make things happen. God already did that. When I say God, know that I am saying all of us. Mm-hmm. God already did that. Created the world and declared it good. He didn't say he needs Celeste to come along and change some things. No, it's good. So the important thing really in this game of life is to watch your reaction.
Exactly.
Does this get you anxious and agitated like me listening to the announcer about the Bills game where they lost and it was awful? No, it's for you to be remembered. How did you react to this? How did you react to that? But you're still spirit, always.
Exactly.
Always, always, always.
Yeah. And when we talk about, I have talked on the show about, being of the world, but not in it.
Oh, for sure. I always say that. I said, we are in the world, but we are not of the world.
Exactly.
We don't come from the world.
Right.
In fact, in the immanence of God. Let me see, in and of itself, but talking about God, in and of itself conceived without the need of any other thing. In other words, gave birth to itself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's something that's difficult for people to grasp.
Yeah. Well, and I think also,
I hardly grasp it. And I love it. I just like it. The fact that I like it is enough for me for now.
Yeah. When it feels right, it is. you know, so, but it's
until it isn't,
until it isn't. And then we, and then sometimes we come back and sometimes we, you know, we shift and that's okay. So yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
What did, Andrew Jackson Davis say? Andrew Jackson Davis. Get him mixed up with the president. Yeah. He says, you know, I may not believe tomorrow what I believe today.
Yes.
And I do not believe today exactly what I believed yesterday, mm-hmm. but I do hope in every 24 hours to make some progress. Some progress. If we knew it all, would we still, you know, be so unhappy and giving in to our emotions and believing that we die? We do not die.
No. No. I find it fascinating too. My brain just split directions.
Don't you just love that?
But it's one of these, you know, I've talked about having a developing personal relationship with Creator. But I mean that in the sense of going within.
Of course.
You know, meditation, giving yourself that, you know, foundation, that opportunity to just
and you
be
are
still.
Creator.
Right.
You are
exactly.
The creator. Exactly. You know Bradley Cooper from The Star is Born, the most recent. So he's at some seminar where people are allowed to ask him questions. And someone from the audience asks him, but how about the creation of art and the music? How do you do that creation? And you know what he said to them? You don't create. He said, you open and let it flow through you.
Exactly.
You're not creating.
Even Bob Dylan talks about all of his work being channeled.
Of course, it is all, every
so,
one of them.
You know? Yeah.
They all say that, every single one of them. And there's a teacher, you know Sadhguru? Sarah and Breck love Sadhguru. And he says the only way out is in. And our own pioneers of spiritualism, they encourage the urgency of going within. Because they knew that you're not going to get anywhere unless, like Celeste says, that she meditates, she goes within, she sits still in silence. The world is transformed.
Yeah, exactly right. And sometimes that silence looks different for different people. I just had a conversation recently with somebody that they have some learning disorders, mm-hmm. Which is not uncommon. You know, I hope that people know that in 2020, you know, by now, that is not uncommon. So, you know, sometimes that silence can be achieved through motion.
Mm-hmm.
That's we have Tai Chi,
yoga,
and Qigong, and yoga, and walking, and drumming, and, you know, so it may not look like the silence of, you know, you're not going to get to enlightenment any faster by sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Besides, you're already enlightened.
Exactly. Yes.
Remember that this is the game of life.
Yes.
People think, well, that's not very, it's blasphemous to even say that. It's ridiculous. This is the game of life. And
exactly.
It's like any game, it's supposed to be fun. It is our interference that makes it not fun.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One day, you know, Shirley Smith?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good. She's so young, I'm afraid she might not know.
I got to know her for a good decade or so before she passed.
Which was,
you know,
well, she was
blessing.
Wonderful, and we went on little fun trips together and everything. And she said to me, Emmy, you don't think you can plan better than God. She said, just trust it.
That's,
it's hard to let go of control.
Yes, it is.
And actually, you're thinking you can do it better than God. Everything that ever was or ever will be already is. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Trust.
And sometimes it's just about making the space for that to happen, you know?
Expanding your awareness, or like Bradley Cooper says, open and let it come through.
Exactly.
And Lionel Richie says the same thing. He said, don't think, just let it flow. And it's not just artists that do that.
Yeah.
There's people all over this world who understand these things much deeper than I do, that's for certain. I love it, but it's hard, you can't explain it. It is, like Shakespeare said, a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. But he also says all the world's a stage and we are just the actors in the play.
Yeah.
After the play, when we all meet on the astral plane, we're going to laugh and say, you did such a good job. You made me so angry. I want to do that one again.
I, well, you know, As long as this reality continues to have coffee and chocolate,
you'll
probably
be fine.
Keep signing up. Yeah. So why not?
So, yeah, I think we torture ourselves when we think too much. I find myself, and I have to really I think that last night I could not sleep. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. And it's because I couldn't stop. Turn it off. Yeah. There was a woman, does everybody know Raymond Moody?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Raymond Moody had a lot to do with bringing awareness to near-death experiences. And one day he had on the show George Rodenia, who was here in Lilydale, stayed at my house, Daniel Brinkley, and some others, and this woman who, and I'm not being disparaging here, but she was not a big name. She didn't write a big book.
Right.
She was a housewife. So Raymond says, and what was your experience? I had poor woman, I don't remember her name, but I love you because you taught me so much. And she said, well, I'm a good Christian woman. I do a lot of good things. I'm a good person. She said, so I looked from my, and I saw this big board, and all my good deeds were written on this board, and I saw them. And then all of a sudden I noticed that only those things that I had done without thinking lit up. That doesn't mean the things she did without thinking were bad. It just means she was judging, whether she knows it or not.
Yeah.
Judge not, trust more.
Mm-hmm.
Only the things she did without thinking, in other words, I liked what you call attention to that, come from within.
Yeah.
Only those things that come from within
mm-hmm.
are coming from the truth of you.
Mm-hmm. It used to be my favorite t-shirt. I had a shirt that had the Buddha on it, and below it, it said, inquire within.
This is a very quippy girl.
I like very quippy, punny things. I like to keep a few things around that hit my funny bone, you know, because I think that's vaguely important. Yes.
Well, the last time I was on, I was talking about the evidence of God, mm-hmm. but not so much, just talking.
Yeah.
And where was it? Oh, that's not the one. Shucks. Oh, I brought the wrong one. Anyway, I was talking about how we are, all of us, at the center of the universe. Black Elk would tell you that at the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit. That center is everywhere. It is within each one of us. And so this little lady started giggling, and she said, oh, then when your friends think that they're the center of the universe, they are. And I had written about that once, but I brought the wrong paper. Yeah. But we are. At the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit. That center is everywhere. It is within each one of us. And it is up to each one of us to bring that center alive, to awaken to it, to know what we are. It serves no one for you, as Marianne Williamson says, to make little of yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Who are you not to be successful? Who are you not to be loved? Yeah. It's all there is, really. You know, I keep going around preaching that love is the fabric of the universe.
Love is?
Yeah.
I think, was it Tolstoy or one of those said that the purpose of life is to grow in love.
Perfect.
Purpose of life is to grow in love.
This could have been our Valentine show. Divine love.
Right. Divine
Perfect.
Love.
Yeah.
I should give you my list of quotes. It's almost as thick.
Well,
I have to divide it into categories.
And coincidentally, because you've said, not that I believe in coincidence, but that's okay. you kept talking about the game of life.
Yeah.
Which is
some people think that's blasphemous, but I said it is the game of life. Lighten up.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and you're aware of the author from the 20s, Florence Scovel Chen.
Oh, everybody is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody.
Everybody in our
little group,
our little quarter. and she, of course, wrote the book, which is titled "The Game of Life and How to Play It," which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm doing a show on. That I've titled after one of her other books in a couple weeks here called Your Word is Your Wand.
Your Word is Your Wand. That's the one I thought you were going to
end with. So.
You know, you're talking about the game of life and lighten up. my grandmother, who I talked a little bit about before, one day from the spirit, she keeps flicking a lighter under my chin from spirit world.
Right.
And I thought, what if she doesn't want me to smoke? I don't think. And all of a sudden I started laughing. She was saying, lighten up. Lighten up. Another time.
Oh, yeah.
Another time. Another time I'm in Key West and I have a bunch of students. There are a lot of students for John White. And he has us write our name on a piece of paper. Has he ever played that game with you?
Mm-mm.
I wonder if it's now the whole world will know it. But anyway, I'm sitting here and then there's a woman next to me and it's a mixed group. John says now comes around the room and asks everyone to close their eyes and he's gonna take it and exchange it with someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear him rustling the paper and everything. So then he says, now we're gonna go around and I want you to read or to intuit what is in this paper and this person. So I thought at that moment, oh golly, I don't like to do readings like this. And all of a sudden, my grandmother, again from spirit, with an entire tribe of Indians, all of them dressed in white, came charging across the plains, stopped in front of me, and dumped buckets of laughter over my head.
That's awesome.
I knew right away,
yeah.
I knew that my name was still on the paper. And I knew that she said, ha, 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 ha.
After, so tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So, and I thought, oh, I hope John doesn't call on me first because it was my business and my home and I had invited him. And I thought, what will I say? Because now I know the jig is up, John. I know that my name is on this paper. But he started with the woman here, which made me last.
Nice.
That's why spirit is everywhere present. Yes, says, what are they doing down there? Don't ruin this. So we started with this person, but with my inside knowledge now, as they went around the room and the persons were reading the name on their paper,
mm-hmm.
I knew exactly. I thought, oh my goodness, don't they see that they're talking about themselves?
Oh my gosh.
So
that is hilarious.
It was fun. So it is, and now I don't feel, you know, I have to remind myself of things like that once in a while, and it's shows like this or talking in church or writing that sometimes remind me mm-hmm. that it is the game of life.
Exactly.
And it's fine to laugh.
Yeah.
I remember after my husband passed, and all my family was there, and the funeral, everything is over with, and I found myself laughing in the kitchen, and I thought, oh, can't laugh, and then I thought, oh, Emmy, he expects you to still laugh for the rest of your life. Are you not going to laugh?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I find that, you know, and there's, I'm so far removed from this now because I've been in this, in our bubble for so long.
I know, isn't it?
You know, but I have to remind myself, you know, like sometimes I'll come across somebody and I'm like, oh, that's right. Okay. You know, different perspectives here. But, you know, sometimes I'll have a client come to me or I'll go visit somewhere and they've had a death in the family, but they just, for the rest of their lives.
I knew a woman didn't get off the couch for 2 years.
Yeah. You know, but I think if 40 years on, and I don't, you know, because I know there's cultural significances and things, but if 40 years on, you're dressing in all black, not because you feel that you need to, but because there is a social expectation.
It's a condition.
That your life is over because somebody else has died.
Oh, that's good.
You're having a hard time. This is, you know, that makes it more difficult to have any joy. you know, that's, I guess I don't want to understand. Yeah.
Well, you do understand, but you don't abide by that.
Well, and that's more to the point. Exactly right. Yeah. You know, I say it that way because I find that especially being very clear cognizant and very, very clear empathetic, that sometimes if I'll say, I don't understand, spirit will kind of give me opportunity to understand.
Oh, be careful.
Exactly.
So add that.
So I've understood that I have created and manifested that sometimes. So now I kind of watch my P's and Q's.
You don't understand? Just watch this.
Okay, let's have a chat about that. It's like, uh-oh.
when one time I was in Key West with my grandson was younger than, maybe he was 12 or 13, and we're driving down one of the main streets, Flagler, and a truck in front of us overturns a little pickup truck. And I was certain that the man was needed an ambulance and was going to crawl out of the truck. Well, he crawled out of the truck and he began kicking the tires. And he was, you know, he obviously was not hurt. And Mikey had said to me, as just before the truck turned, Mikey said to me, Grandma, that truck is going to turn. And it did. But anyway, and it rolled. But anyway, I was so amazed by this that long before I left Key West and got up here, I was thinking on the plane, how does that happen? How do you get out of a car or a truck that's overturned and you just get out? How does that happen? Uh-oh. I should have been quiet.
Uh-oh.
I get home to Lilydale and my husband and I are doing different things, and then we have to go back to Key West. For a long time, we had to go back and forth a lot. So we're on our way to the airport. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. It's not snowing. It's just faintly beginning. And all of a sudden, our car began to spin out of control. Rolled over twice right down there by Privateras and landed on the top of the car, and the wheels are in the air spinning. Do you know what my first thought was? Okay, I get it. This is how you can get out, because I knew there was not one thing wrong with me. My husband says, are you okay? I said, yes, let's get out of this car. So the car rolled twice through a ditch, landed on its back, wheels are spinning in the air. We weren't hurt. So be careful what you ask for.
Yes.
It can happen.
It can, absolutely. It's, oh, yeah. you know, we are we're right before Halloween.
My birthday. And, not Halloween, November 3rd, but yeah. That's why I'm going for it.
Yeah.
My son's coming to get me.
He
says, you're not getting on a plane, don't worry, I'm gonna drive up and get you.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. you know what, I like driving down anyway because I feel like my body can acclimate more,
and you can
more
pack
easily.
More.
Yes, exactly right. Put the seats down and there you go. Yeah. But I just
well, driving is fun. It's like a lost art.
Yeah, and you never know what you're going to see on the way, you know, that's going to be inspiring.
We're going to stop in North Carolina. One of my granddaughters is getting married next year, and she and her fiance have just moved to North Carolina, and she says, "Oh, Grandma, please, if you and Uncle John are coming, just go right by our house. You have to stop." Well, we're not going right by her house.
Well,
we'll definitely stop and spend the night. So.
Nice. Yeah. There you go. So, you know, it gives opportunity that we wouldn't otherwise have, you know.
When you drive.
Yeah. Exactly. I think we're getting we think about efficiency, but we don't think about...
We rush too much. We don't take our time.
Yeah.
And don't forget this too, also, time. You know, I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But time, you know, is not moving.
Right.
We move through time.
Exactly.
And so time is always here. Mm-hmm. It's always here. Mm-hmm. And we are moving through time. And so after my husband died, one night he was right there and I was so surprised to see him. And I just was like, and he had a key in his hand. I saw it, but I wanted to look at him.
Yeah.
And he said, look at it. The veins were standing out. He was so agitated with me. But I didn't want to look at the key. I wanted to look at him. And finally he says, look at it. Okay. So I looked at the key, and there was his birth date from this lifetime. And I knew immediately he's coming right back into this life. Because it's still here, ready and waiting. He will just create the same. Because, you know, they say don't have regrets, but you do have regrets. There's things I would definitely do over, up my game of life, get a little better at it. And so he was showing me that key to show me that you can go right back into the same life and maybe improve some things. Look at it with a new perspective. I can't remember who said this, but one of those wonderful philosophers said, we don't need a new landscape. We don't have to go someplace else. We need new eyes. Exactly. Look at it with a new perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that was so cool, that key. In fact, I wrote about it for this month's church paper. Yes. And I don't know where Roy, who is a wonderful, wonderful member of the church that does all our printing and our plants and they just do so much. And he found a key and he couldn't get a hold of me. And I said, how did you get his birthday down there? And he said, I just was hoping that I had it right. I thought that I'd heard it somewhere. I mean, why
That's
would
amazing.
An acquaintance know your husband's birthday? That's you know, awesome. Not his birthday, but his birth date. So, yeah. So you can go back in.
Nice.
It's always there. There's.
Well, and that's very, you know, I started in my head to make an analogy being a child of the 80s. You don't just play Mario Brothers one time and win the game.
Exactly.
It takes some practice and
That's
some skill.
Good.
And sometimes you're Mario and sometimes you're Luigi and sometimes you're Princess Peach and it all works out.
That's so good. I wouldn't even know that. I wouldn't know anything about it, but.
Yep. The 80s. We all kind of intertwine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just
remind yourself from time to time, we are one. We are one. I am of the one.
I had a visit a couple years back with, I was sleeping. I had woken up and I was just kind of laying there for a little bit. And my grandfather came in, who is probably my favorite person that I've ever known in my lifetime. And
isn't that great to have good grandparents?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And actually he was my great grandfather, but close enough. But he came in and he said, I've got some news that I wanted to share with you. And I said, oh, that's great. You know? He said, well, I'm graduating. And at the time I was like, I knew it was something good and it was something to be celebrated. And I don't think I totally understood what he meant, but he was saying, you know, I'm moving on to another understanding of reality.
I'm glad you said understanding and not dimension.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we categorize, don't we? So,
we get married.
he was moving to another understanding of reality. And the next day later that day, whatever it was, I had said to my family members, I heard from Grandpa and he came and he visited and he said he was graduating. And they all looked at me like I had just murdered him. I was like, why is this, why are we upset here? What's happening? And the question was, well, does that mean we're not going to ever hear from him again?
Oh my goodness. I feel so bad when I hear that. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's something that we have to bear in mind, that it doesn't mean that that personality, that consciousness is not going to be available to us.
Where are they going to go? There's only here. There's
exactly.
only now. The
exactly.
eternal now.
The eternal now. So, I've heard and visited with him several times since, and he is hilarious, which I
well you probably got all that from him.
I wish, but he still visits, and it just means that, you know,
he came to an aha moment.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. But you and me, if we come to an aha and we called somebody up and said, I just graduated, I had an aha moment today.
Aha.
They'd be like, I think you're giving yourself too much credit. So I don't know that terminology would work on this plane, but as soon as you get that information from spirit and you're excited and you want to share it,
you can feel it.
You can feel it, you know? And because I'm very, like I said, clear, empathetic, it hits me right in the heart space, but then it leaks out of my eyes. So I get like, you know, I'm connecting with spirit, but it's like, but I look like I'm going to cry. So, but there's this,
does make you cry when they come close like that.
Yeah. It, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It, as is waterproof mascara. whatever personality invented that, I have to give them thanks, I have to say, but, But there's really, my goodness, I was going somewhere with that, I promise.
Did you cry when spirit comes close?
No, it was, it was about, I know what it was. I find in mediumship, when you connect with spirit world, that they, just like here, they go through phases of how they like to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a bit like playing charades, like with the lighter, you know, under the chin. And it's like, well, what does that mean? So sometimes it's very auditory, you know, like
that big booming voice.
Right. And sometimes it's very just aha moments, that clear thought that comes through and understanding.
That's another one of my bugaboos, but go ahead.
Why?
Thoughts are not things.
Well, completely true. Okay.
People think they are. You know, you're talking and say, no, cancel, erase. Why?
Because if you think that, you're in the moment, but you're judging it.
Yes,
right?
You're judging it.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Judge less, trust more, yeah. Have more fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I think we are actors on the stage because we are spirit. Yeah. Why are, you know, we, even when we pass on, we're only on the astral plane unless you're really going deep, because why else are they separate? Einstein calls a belief in separate a delusion of consciousness.
Yeah. I think, and it's one that has created a lot of disharmony. Within the mind, within the body, within the spirit.
Well, to believe in that separation keeps making the divide bigger, bigger, bigger. Mm-hmm. We need to bring people into the one. You can still have fun.
Yeah.
What is his name? Aurobindo says, you can own all the things you want. You can own duality. You can own beautiful cars. Don't let them own you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So have fun.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting how people have a real sense of unworthiness.
Oh, isn't it awful?
You know, and it's I just don't feel
like. I mean,
like
we all do. We're not saying that.
Yeah.
Everybody has that sense of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not quite good enough.
Yeah. I shouldn't take this because somebody may need it more.
Oh.
And then it's.
Close. I'll take the small piece of cake. You have this nice, big, beautiful one with all the frosting.
That's why when I make a cake, there's roses everywhere, not just in the corners.
I always tell my children, make sure there's plenty of flowers on the cake.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. But yeah, there's, it's very interesting because spirit doesn't, you know, I think in spirituality over the centuries, we have developed
centuries and centuries and centuries and
eons,
centuries,
eons, millennia. we've developed this thought process of like the monks, you have to live in austerity, mm-hmm. in order to be able to focus within,
you have to be at peace.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, so we're getting in this world right now where it's, you know, it's so busy and we, and so we have the opportunity to find that peace even throughout the maximum distractions, to be able to meditate in the middle of a rock concert.
That's what they say. My teacher used to tell me, Emmy, you have to be able to meditate in the middle of a parking lot.
Yeah.
She said, when you can do that, let me know.
Perfect. Yeah. But I'm finding a very nice trend amongst the living with mediumship, which I'm very excited about, because more and more over the last like month, spirit has been coming in and saying, to my clients, thank you for having real conversations with me.
Ah.
And not just, hi, I know you're here. Or,
I see you.
You know,
leave me alone now. I want to go back to the show I'm watching.
Right. Because Antiques Roadshow is so much more important. Although I got sucked into Shark Tank recently.
Ooh!
Which was,
it's cool.
Interesting.
No, it is.
Yeah.
And where would entrepreneurs go with their you know, their inventions and.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it was both good and bad for me because I've just ordered some special silicone ice cube trays for soup because I like to make a lot of soup, and then so you can make portion. It in individual portions and put it in the freezer. So
that's good. But you do just ice cube size?
Oh no, they're big. Oh, they're real big. Yeah. We're a little off topic, but anyway, so the point is material possessions, not bad.
No, listen, what is that one that, what does he say? Greed? Oh, being selfish and greedy leads to the palace of wisdom, because you never know that you've had enough till you've had more than enough.
Yeah, sometimes we got to learn it that way.
That's a little bit not exact, but that's what he says.
And I've heard it as, I welcome the lessons that winning the lottery would bring me. And I thought, ooh, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I like how that was phrased, but all I asked for is the opportunity for the life lessons that winning the lottery would bring me. And it was like, huh, okay, well, you know, so you're shifting your dharmic path there a little bit, but God bless.
But still, I mean, like Abraham says, you can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
Just. Yeah. We're not gonna quit, because obviously we've been doing this forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. Obviously we are spirit, and we have drank from the river of forgetfulness in order to be able to play this game, because like I said, without the urgency of belief, we wouldn't do anything.
If anybody was born into the knowing and retains the knowledge throughout their entire life that they were the most powerful energy there was, they would probably be institutionalized.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But they are.
Yeah.
Well, one time in Egypt, Sarah was only 14, and we were in the hotel near the pyramids, and you could see them it was dusk sort of, and you could see this gigantic thing looming there. And then afterwards, you know, if you've ever been to a seminar, then you share your meditation and everything. And Sarah got these words: you are the light at the end of the tunnel.
Beautiful.
You are the light at the end of the tunnel. There's only you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's only you.
Yeah.
That is difficult to get, but I know it so much that I know that it's real, but I have to remind, you know, you are the light at the end of the tunnel. But she got that at 14.
Oh, that's beautiful. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun to get those ahas.
Yeah.
Be open to them. Know that you can receive them, and don't do it sometimes. Write it down immediately.
Yes.
It just goes so.
Yes. I have learned a trick, which is that every time I have purchased a very nice looking journal, I've ended up giving it away, because I never end up, you know, it's never. So voice memo on your phone.
That's what I use.
Or text memo in your phone.
Send it to yourself.
write it down in a plain notebook later, you know, but.
If you don't write it or make some sort of note to yourself, I mean, it can be gone that quick.
Oh, yeah.
It's very aggravating.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, sometimes surprise yourself just by going back and looking at these. I just heard, we hold these truths to be self-evident. but, you know, to go back and witness yourself at that moment in time.
Be the witness. Be the observer.
Yeah.
So be the observer.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's pretty much what we have time for today. I want to encourage everybody, when this episode is airing, tomorrow from after this episode, there is a really, really wonderful class here in Lilydale in person called the Leolin Woods, A Story Told in Trees, that will be socially distanced. And
nice.
And yeah, it starts in the Lyceum building, and then there'll be a walk into the Leolin Woods. So you know, bring your mask like you do everywhere.
But, who's teaching?
There is a very nice ecologist by the name of Eric Danielson. He's sort of local to this area, and he does a wonderful job. So and then we have all kinds of classes, wellness for the holidays I should say, and concerts and different things online. So check out lilydaleassembly.org for the latest and greatest. You know, keep checking back and check on the other Lilydale blog talk shows. We've got Colleen on Tuesday nights with Embracing Your Essence, Wednesdays with Willa, Wednesday mornings, and Journey into the Light with John White, Wednesday evenings, and of course myself on Thursday mornings. And now we have Mediumship Mondays at noon with Sharon Hill. And Molly Hastings will be joining us on Tuesday afternoons, I believe. And her show is called Ever Unfolding Joy.
Would be Molly.
Yeah, very sweet. Very sweet title as well.
Aren't you taking Friday night?
And yes, and then I have for Church of the Living Spirit, I have a development circle online. So Mediumship Development online, 7 p.m. And those tickets can be found on my website at celesteelliott.com. Elliott, two L's and two T's. and I also have the link off of my Facebook page and the Church of the Living Spirit Facebook page.
So people are accepting Zoom more and more now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing. I watch a lot of things on Zoom now. I never would have.
No, it's great. It's given me great opportunity to do a lot of learning in my bunny slippers, you know.
Bunny slippers.
You might as well. So nobody will know. So okay, well, thank you, Emmy, for being with us.
Oh, I was happy to be here.
Hugely grateful. And do feel free to write in on the comments, because I do always check the comment section, and we will get back to you if you have questions as well. So okay, until next time, we are wishing you a good day and good vibes,
and remember, you are the light at the end of the tunnel.
Fabulous. Okay.